I'm not, if you're new here, I'm not the normal preacher. I'm getting a wonderful privilege and opportunity to do this, and what a privilege it is to, I mean, consider this. We get to speak about God's Son, His only begotten Son. You believers, you get to declare the glory of Jesus Christ. I get to stand up here today and do that. What a privilege that is. So, let's pray. Father God, it is our intention, Lord, that our lives would be submitted before You, Lord, in reverence of Your Son, Lord, and that we would more appreciate You, Lord, and appreciate what You've done in coming in the flesh to save men and women. I pray that You would give us a higher view of Christ today, Lord. You'd help us to greater appreciate this gospel of salvation. Help us, Lord, humble our hearts, teach us. We want to sit at the feet of Jesus. I pray this in His name. Amen. All right, well, before we start, I want to ask you, what do you think is the central theme of Holy Scripture? Or the greatest aspect of Holy Scripture? If you were to sum it up, what is the sum of Holy Scripture? Is the Bible teaching us about history and the rise of political empires in rulers? Is the Bible teaching us about the history of the Jews? Is the Bible a code of ethics teaching us about right and wrong? Is the Bible about finding your purpose in life? How to raise good kids, how to have a nice family. Now, if you think that the Bible is about those things, you're not entirely wrong, because the Bible does teach on these topics, right? And yet, if that's what you believe the Bible fundamentally is about, you've got it wrong. You're missing the point. The Bible, from cover to cover, is about this great salvation that we have by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. From cover to cover, how sinful man can be reconciled to a holy God. And that is the theme, that is the subject of Holy Scripture, and no less here in the book of 1 Peter, salvation. And so he says, picking up in verse 10, chapter 1 of Peter, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things angels desire to look into. I've titled this message, The Gospel According to the Prophets. And I could have titled it The Gospel According to the Angels, because he actually mentions the angels here at the end of verse 12. You see that? The angels believe this gospel as well. In context, he's been speaking about an authentic faith, a precious faith. He says it's a faith that's more precious than gold, which perishes, though it's refined by fire. In the material world, there's nothing more valuable, more incorruptible than gold. And so this is a metaphor teaching us about faith. Gold, it endures. Even the greatest of trials, the trial of fire, to the point where it's not destroyed by fire, but not only is it not destroyed by fire, it's improved upon in the trial of fire. And it becomes refined as pure gold. Such is your faith. Your faith through the trials of life and the troubles in life is refined. An authentic saving faith, it never ends. It's actually a timeless thing. It endures forever. And your faith is even better than gold. Gold can purchase anything in this world except for this one thing, the salvation of your soul. It is that faith, that authentic faith, it actually purchases that greater than anything the world could ever offer you. Salvation. And he says, of this salvation in verse 10, connecting us back to verse 9, where he talked about that authentic faith that saves you. So this is the supreme topic of all Holy Scripture. And Peter is drawing our attention to us because he wants us to appreciate this great salvation. And so Peter talks about salvation, particularly from the vantage point of the Old Testament prophets and how they understood salvation by grace through faith. These men were the pioneers of faith. And they were teaching about the ground that we now stand on. They were as though they were standing on a mountaintop looking down at the ground that you and I as New Testament believers now stand upon. Some of the details for them were missing as Old Testament saints. They didn't have the full canon of Holy Scripture as we do today. But they saw salvation as though, as a pioneer, as though they were looking from a mountaintop, okay, and a distance. And some of the details were a little bit fuzzy, but as you stand on a mountaintop, I got the privilege of going backpacking the last few days, and I could see a peak over here, a mountain peak over here. I could see the forest. I could see lakes and rivers, and I could map it out, and I can identify east from west and north and south and understand that big picture, but it wasn't until I got into the forest that I could see the little critters, the insects, and experience what it was like to be in the shade of the forest, right? They didn't have some of those fine details that we have, but they could see the big picture. And so it is for the Old Testament saint. But you, New Testament saint, you have got it all. You've got the whole story from cover to cover. You have it in 72-inch high-definition plasma screen. What they had on a 12-inch black and white, where they were trying to, you know, move the antenna around. That's what you have today. And so Peter, he's reminding us of this great privilege that we have living in the New Testament era, the testimony of the prophets. How are we to understand prophecy, the nature of prophecy? Well, the prophets, they would say, "Thus saith the Lord." And by that, they were telling us about the origin of prophecy. Where does prophecy come from? Well, they were telling us that they were the spokesmen on behalf of God. They were the mouthpiece of God. They were declaring the things that God wanted to declare. And so, now, they didn't lose touch with their person. This was really them writing these things. It wasn't as though they put on a blindfold and God was making their hand move about so that they wrote automatically exactly what God intended. They were still within control of themselves. And yet, they weren't entirely in control of themselves. That's the nature of prophecy. God so compelled their writing that they wrote exactly as God intended them to write. And this becomes clear in our passage. The passage tells us about the origin of prophecy. The prophets wrote about things that they could not have known by experience, by their own rationale. This wasn't something that they just whipped up in the privacy of their own studies. But it says that they were delving into things that were mysterious to them. They were inquiring, and they were searching diligently about their own writings, the mysteries of God, the nature of God, the nature of eternity, the future. And so these things prompted in them a lifetime of searching out the scriptures to investigate the things that God had revealed through them. So this is about the origin of prophecy. They were searching their very own writings. And what did they write about? The first point, what was the testimony of the prophets? The grace that should come unto you. In other words, the coming of the gospel age. Now, the reason I like old Westerns, I like to watch old Western movies, my kids will tell you about that. I like to watch it because these are stories about pioneers. People who looked for a better politic, a better land, a better way of life. And they went out with hope. They clung to a promise. And with the eye of faith, they looked towards that land. They looked towards that better life. And they went west. And that was these Old Testament prophets. They went looking with the eye of faith in things unseen, but hoping in the promises of God. And God was declaring to them this hope in Jesus Christ. Christ was actually the hope of the Old Testament saints. Just as the land would be for the frontiersmen, the pioneers who went west. And so it says that they were seeking diligently in verse 10. They were seeking this day of the coming gospel age. They sought Christ in the Old Testament. They weren't just reading about legal codes. They weren't just reading about the history of the Jews. Anna, if you remember in Luke chapter 2, she was seeking Christ. She lived in this period called the intertestamental period between the closing of the canon of Holy Scripture, the Old Testament, and the beginning of the formation of our New Testament. It's called the intertestamental period. Anna lived in that time, and it says that she was looking for the redemption of Israel. Now, how did Anna know about the redemption that would come to Israel? Was it from her New Testament? Was it from the gospel accounts? No, she knew that from the Old Testament, from the writings of the prophets. Or you could consider Philip. Philip in John chapter 1, he went and told his buddy, he was excited, and he wanted to tell Nathanael, we have found him. They were looking for this Savior of Israel, the Redeemer, Christ. And so it wasn't just the prophets who declared this salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, but any Old Testament saint who has ever been saved trusted in Jesus Christ for salvation. And so this gospel, it marks that the climax of God's revelation about the gospel of salvation. The gospel also marks the completion of God's revelation. Because it's the climax of God's revelation. Consider this. We're not actually looking for some new prophecy. We're not looking for a new prophet. I don't need another gospel. Do you? This is all I want. This is all I need. And consider what it says in Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to our fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he declared the heir of all things. That marks the climax of God's revelation. the sending of his son, and the completion of all that God wanted to say to you and I. And so it is, these Old Testament prophets, they believed that same gospel that you and I believe, and yet they looked at it as pioneers looking out in the distance, not having it all fully clear to them. They had the gospel, but they didn't have that faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. But they testified about the coming gospel age. Second, they testified about the grace of God, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. The grace of God. What is grace? Grace is that unmerited favor of God. It's something that you didn't earn. It's something you didn't deserve. It's a gift, a lavish gift from God. Ephesians 2:8-9, salvation is by grace through faith, and this not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, so that no man may boast. That's grace. And so, why does Peter, though, say that the Old Testament prophets were prophesying about this future grace? Did these prophets, did they not know salvation by grace through faith? No, they surely did. Habakkuk 2:4, behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. But the just shall live by faith. They understood justification by faith, just like you and I. They understood that it was a person is saved by grace. And they looked forward, though, to this day of grace. What does Peter mean here? I would propose that what Peter's talking about is a day of global grace, where grace had gone out to the nations lavishly, without limits, to all mankind. A day of lavish blessings from God, where Gentile nations would become saved. And this is anticipated all throughout the Old Testament. Moses spoke about it in Genesis chapter 12 when he reflected on the promises made to Abraham, that he had saved Abraham, and he said, I'm going to bless you, Abraham, and I'm going to bless those who bless you, Abraham, and I'm going to curse those who curse you, Abraham, and by you all the nations will be blessed. Those who had like faith of Abraham. But it was anticipating this day when the gospel would go out to the nations. And people would be saved by faith. In other words, the gospel was known to the Jews. And it was known in Israel. But this was anticipating a day of global grace. David hoped in that day. In Psalm 67:1-2, he says, God be merciful unto us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations. Earlier, we had our passage reading from Acts chapter 2, and Peter gave this great sermon, and he explained what was happening, where people were coming from all different nations with different dialect, speaking in tongues and glorifying God. And this anticipated, this was a fulfillment of Joel's prophecy, where he anticipated that the Spirit of God would go out lavishly throughout all the nations, unsparingly, freely, to all of the nations. And so these prophets, they spoke about this outpouring of God's Spirit of grace upon the nations. And so the prophets, they wrote about this widespread grace of God. They wrote about salvation being widely disseminated upon the earth, his saving grace. And you, New Testament saint, you live in that day of God's lavish grace. Now think about that. These Old Testament saints, they got to anticipate and hope for the day that you and I now live in. That actually should give you much confidence in evangelism. Right? God has actually promised that if you and I will go to our neighbors, and if you and I will go to our coworkers, and if you and I will go to our family and our friends, and we will tell them about the grace of God through Jesus Christ, that souls will be saved. That is the day that we live in. And so Peter, he's building our confidence in that. What did the Old Testament prophets testify about? The sufferings and glories of Jesus Christ. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. The Old Testament declared the full gospel. The full gospel, the sufferings and glories of Jesus Christ, the death of Jesus Christ, and the resurrection and the ascension, the glories of Jesus Christ. Christ is the object of saving faith. Without Christ, you are not saved. You need Jesus Christ. Old Testament saints needed Jesus Christ for salvation. And sincere faith is necessary for salvation. Peter speaks about that in verse 6 through 9. This authentic faith that's better than gold. But sincere faith alone cannot save you. And that's why sincere Mormons aren't saved. That's why sincere Jehovah's Witnesses are not saved. Their hope and their faith is not on the object of faith. Their hope is not on Jesus Christ, but in themselves. You know, in order to beat cancer and have a sort of physical salvation, sincerity is not going to beat cancer for you. Okay? I could offer a cancer patient some sugar pills and say, hey, these are going to save you from cancer. They're going to cure you from cancer. Please take these pills. And you could become convinced and say, okay, I bought into it. I believe these sugar pills are going to be what saves me. And you could have sincerity about it, so much so that you go and tell all of your friends about these sugar pills, all your cancer patient friends, and you tell them, look, if you take these pills religiously, you are going to be saved. Will those sugar pills do anything to save you from cancer? When I talk about the object of saving faith, I'm talking about Jesus Christ is the only one who can save you. His sufferings and the glories that should follow, and having your hope in that. And so, faith in Jesus Christ is the only treatment for your soul, to save you from that eternal death, the consequences of your sin. And Peter says that these Old Testament prophets, they sincerely trusted in God. I think it's a mistake, though, that some people make when they believe that the Old Testament prophets and saints were just had a kind of a generic faith, a generalized faith, faith that God exists, faith that the Bible was a true Christian ethic, or I don't know, I don't understand, but there's people that they don't understand that these Old Testament saints, they weren't just trusting in God in a generalized way. They were actually looking forward to the day that God would send his Messiah to suffer and die on the cross. And so Jesus was their cure. How? His sufferings. His sufferings, it says in verse 11. That's his death. You know, the Jewish religion, it was a bloody religion. And this was pictured in the Old Testament temple sacrifices. You know, working at the temple each day was a messy job. And these priests, they would come home and they weren't greeted with a warm hug and kiss by their wives, not until they stripped down and took a shower first, right? Because they were filled with blood on their garments and blood in their hair, and they reeked. And this was a picture of the sufferings of Jesus Christ, his death, the Lamb of God who would take away sin. They knew that the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin. How did they know that? Because they had to get up the next day and do it all over again. Day after day after day, and week after week, year after year, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of animals shedding their blood and suffering. And they learned by that the blood of bulls and goats can never take away sin. And they anticipated this day when Christ would come and he would suffer to absolve mankind from sin, to provide that forgiveness we need through Jesus Christ, his sufferings, his death. And it was pictured in the Old Testament through the temple sacrifices. And it was prophesied about. You could think of Psalms 22. They plucked out his beard. Not one of his bones was broken. It graphically describes the death of Jesus Christ, prophesied back in Psalms 22. Isaiah 53:5. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. It was prophesied in the Old Testament. It was pictured in the Old Testament. And these prophets, in all Old Testament saints, they were hoping in the Messiah that God would send, the Christ who would redeem Israel, and the glories that should follow. His resurrection and his ascension. Pictured when Isaac went up on that mountain of death, and he came back down alive. That was a picture of resurrection. Prophesied about by Job. Job said, one day I'm going to die, and then I'm going to rise again, and with my own resurrected eyeballs, I'm going to see Christ in the flesh, God in the flesh. He actually hoped in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the ascension into glory. It was all throughout the Old Testament, and Jesus' suffering and the glories that would follow. This was foretold by the prophets, and they hoped in these promises of God. But you have got it all. I want to remind you guys what we hold here, the completed canon of Holy Scripture, something the Old Testament prophets could have only dreamed about having. That's what you and I have today. The whole gospel in all of its vibrant colors, 72-inch high-definition plasma screen. That's what you and I have today. And so I want us to appreciate this hope that we have. Let's thank God that we have this New Testament, that we stand on this side of salvation history looking back at the cross of Jesus Christ. And that we can go out with hope and confidence that if we declare this gospel to our friends and our families and our neighbors, that God is going to do some work and he's going to save some souls. And I want us also to make a diligent study of God's word. Think about this. They searched their own writings day after day. They got their morning coffee. They rubbed the sleep from their eyes and they woke up and they said, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to have at it again with God's word. And you and I, we have the full completed revelation here. Ought we not be waking up each morning in a disciplined study of God's word? And third, I want us to hope more fully in the return of Jesus Christ. hope more fully in the return of Jesus Christ. The great hope of the Old Testament saint was the first advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were hoping that the Savior would come, the Redeemer of Israel. In Matthew 5, Jesus talks about the persecution of the prophets and these trials that they endured in their lifetime. How did they endure these trials? How did they stay firm on the Word of God through these trials, declaring this gospel of justification by faith? How did they do it? Well, they were looking for God to come in the flesh. They were looking for the first advent of the Messiah. And they were looking and longing and hoping in Him to reconcile man to God. You and I have that same hope today, though, brothers and sisters. We are not looking for Christ to come and shed His blood again to absolve us from sins. That has already taken place in the past, but you and I are looking for the reconciliation of all things. When we are free from sin entirely, and we walk in perfect harmony in this world, that day when God reconciles the whole world, that's our hope, brothers and sisters. And when you're going through troubling times, you can cling to that hope and you can look to the sky and say, God, I'm looking for the Savior to come again. Come quickly, Lord. I want to conclude and just say, you guys, we have it all right here. And I just want to exhort you to take this up each day. May this be your treasure. Carry it around and hide it in your heart. Declare it to everybody you know. All right, let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this great gift of salvation, Lord, that you've given unto men. Lord, we are undeserving. Lord, it is by grace. Lord, I thank you that we live in this side of history, Lord, where we have this New Testament, Lord. May we not take it for granted. Help us to have greater confidence. Help us to have greater hope and faith, Lord. Help us in our weakness, Lord. We do not have faith except that you give it as a gift. I ask, Lord, that you'd continue to increase our faith and trust and hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for this day. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.